Welcome to Western New York Catholic Weekly, a production of the Office of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo. Stay tuned as Kevin Keenan and Greg Prince bring the Catholic newsmakers to you. Wherever it's happening in the diocese, you'll hear about it on Western New York Catholic Weekly.
Thanksgiving Day in the city of Buffalo typically finds Bishop Edward Kimmick at the Response to Love Center on the east side of Buffalo, but he's going to be in a little bit of a different venue this year, this coming Thursday. He will be in the Vatican for the Ad Limina visit, and he will be meeting with Pope Benedict XVI. And Bishop Kimmick joins us from his conference room just off his office in the Catholic Center in downtown Buffalo. Bishop, good to have you on the program again.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about the Ad Limina visit that is forthcoming. It's been some time since we've had an Ad Limina visit. Usually, Ad Limina visits are even called quinquennials, and that means every 5 years, but in this instance, it's been 7 years. As a matter of fact, the last time the American bishops were having their Ad Limina visit, I was in transit to come here to Buffalo, so I'd never even made a trip. I couldn't do it with the New York bishops, and nor did I was able later to do it with the Nashville bishops because I got very engaged here in Buffalo. So I'm looking forward to it. This is a wonderful experience. Fundamentally, the Ad Limina, the Latin words mean to the threshold. And to the threshold is to the threshold of St. Peter and St. Paul. During the course of our time there, we, as bishops, will celebrate Mass at the tomb of an altar of St. Peter in St. Peter's Basilica, and then also out at the St. Paul outside the walls for a celebration at the tomb of St. Paul. It's a highlight of our trip in many ways. We are, as bishops call successors to the apostles, so it's very appropriate that we go to the great apostles. And for me, especially at St. Peter's, when I said my first Mass there, after ordination, above the tomb of St. Peter, but also when I said my first Mass in the little chapel of Our Lady Częstochowa, it was only about 25 feet away. It was a wonderful way to start a priesthood. So the Ad Limina also has a necessity of making a report to the Holy Father, a very detailed report. Actually, it's about an inch thick, and it really has many, many chapters to it. Months ago, we were sent, after having heard that we will be having an Ad Limina with the New York bishops starting actually on Thanksgiving Day, we received a kind of a questionnaire of which they want us to fill out. It's very comprehensive. There's something like 23 chapters to it, and it touches all of our different offices. It goes from right here, the bishop's office, our staff, has demographics, it has touches all our ministries. For instance, when we talk about family life, when we talk about education, whatever we have, it's all contained. The report was primarily the work of Monsignor Litwin as Chancellor. He distributed some of these questionnaires to the various offices, and what happens there is that a report is made of their doings over the past several years, hopefully not too long, but somehow as thorough as they can make it. It's hard to cover 7 years. Part of the reason, too, that we're so long in between is the fact that in his first year of office, the Holy Father did not have any Ad Limina visits from any of the bishops from around the world. But over the course of time, he's been trying to catch up, but he's also made a lot more bishops. There are now about 5,000 bishops. The only ones required to come are ordinaries, those who are bishops of a diocese, as I am. And in the United States, there's 195 dioceses at the present time, so just even to see, he has to see 195 bishops in the course of several months. We come by regions, and New York is a region, but also a province. All the bishops here. There are 8 dioceses, but usually auxiliary bishops can come. Sometime other staff members can come. Monsignor LaPuma will be with me, Bishop Grush, of course. And so we'll have our opportunity to speak to the Holy Father.
And this is a one-on-one
That's
conversation.
Correct. That's
You're in
correct.
His presence, and you have his, and he has your total attention.
This is probably the most thrilling aspect when you're brought into his, it's his library, his little table, and you just come and sit down and greet the Holy Father, and you know, he greets you, and then you sit down and you begin, you know, whatever you wish to discuss. You usually have to give the lead to the Holy Father. What does he want to hear? It's about 15 minutes. At least it's a practice in the past. I'm not too sure whether that'll be the same thing. But there will be a private individual meeting with the Holy Father, as I've seen from what has been already done. So
you are a chatty guy. I think that everybody would agree. You love to talk, and that's one of the beautiful qualities about you. When you've got 15 minutes with the Holy Father, you've really got to think about what you need to be prepared to talk about. So what's going through your mind right now?
Well, really, I'm pretty familiar with the report. We mailed our report in months ago already. I'm familiar with pretty much the workings of the diocese. I think I can adequately answer practically any aspect that the Holy Father would be interested in. I do intend, usually, and I would love to greet the Holy Father and just tell him that I also represent the people of the Diocese of Buffalo, and to tell him that we are very devoted to him. We hold him in the highest respect, and that we do pray for him, you know, and I bring and carry the prayers of the diocese to the Holy Father. I'm sure that somewhere in a conversation I have to bring up the fact that I'm in the retirement mode or anticipating retirement, and we may have a little discussion about that. I would love to be able just to say, talk to the Holy Father a little bit about the years I've been a bishop. That's already 29 years, and maybe talk a little bit about that. But obviously, too, he might have something he wants to talk about. And whatever it is, my agenda will follow whatever the Holy Father likes to speak about. In past times, I know when Pope John Paul II, I think almost invariably he always says, what are you doing about the youth? He has voice concerned about the youth. Of course, we all know how he was beloved by the youth, wherever he went for those World Youth Days. The kids just really got wild about him, and he just was so wonderfully reverenced and accepted by them all. So, but I have no idea. Perhaps after several, if I'm not the first one, if others come in, we may ask, what is the Holy Father asking you of us? This is a great task for the Holy Father to do, though, when you think about all the bishops of the world. And I think the last group that's been going in recently is from Indonesia. And I can imagine the Holy Father, when he talks to us and about our diocese, is what a different kind of a pastoral situation are there. Here in the United States, we have what we deal with, and the problems and difficulties, as well as the good things that we continue to do, and want to tell them about the good works that are being accomplished. But nevertheless, though, too, I'm sure that some of them, especially out there in Indonesia, you would say things are rather troubled, and the church has struggled there under even oppression and persecution in many places. So our story is probably quite different. But the Holy Father, in this way, though, the Holy Father gets a very personal touch with you. I always think of it in terms, and it was very much so with Pope John Paul II, you really felt like this is Peter, and you are the successor of Peter, and you are the apostles, the successors, and we get together. We talk one-on-one. We talk in small groups. We celebrate Mass together. And just in general, in the time of Pope John Paul II, we would also have a lunch with him, which was also kind of exciting. They'd just sit down at a table. There'd only be about maybe 10 bishops at the most, and he was chatty too, by the way. He would love to talk, and he seemed to be very, very enjoying of our presence and company. I met the Holy Father, not for an ad limina, obviously, but I've had about 3 occasions, and he is a charming man, very patient. He's not one to like brush you off. He gives you all the time within reason. You know, he doesn't simply say hello and poof, go move on. he would, as you came up, come up there at an audience, you have a few moments to chat with him, and he doesn't seem like he wants to rush you at all. So I look forward to it very, very much.
Talking with Bishop Edward Kimmich, who will be in Rome this week for the Ad Limina visit, and he will be meeting with Pope Benedict XVI this Thursday on Thanksgiving Day, and we'll continue our conversation on Western New York Catholic Weekly right after this.
Hello, my name is Father Walter Sesney, the Director of Vocations for the Diocese of the Buffalo. The life of a Roman Catholic priest is a busy one, you might say, never a dull moment, as he influences the lives of many. We hear from Father Joe Rogliano.
To describe my life, it's fulfilling, it's challenging, I've never been unhappy a day. I say that in all sincerity. I'm Father Joe Rogliano. I am currently assigned, just started a few months back, I'm pastor of St. Mark's Parish and St. Rose of Lima. I'm doing double duty in North Buffalo. It really came during the year at the bank. That's when I really heard God for the first time. Take the call. Answer the phone. Because if you don't have the conversation to at least consider, if you think there might be a vocation, there probably is. Take the call. Listen. Really listen.
Father Joe heard God calling him, and he had the courage to respond. Is God calling you? Take a risk. Follow your call. Contact me at 847-5535 or at buffalovocations.org.
Welcome back to Western New York Catholic Weekly on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. We are in the outer office, the conference room of Bishop Edward U. Kimmich in the Catholic Center in downtown Buffalo, talking about his Ad Limina visit. The bishop will be in Rome, leaving in just a couple of days. And on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, while we're watching football and having Thanksgiving and running in the turkey trot, the bishop will be meeting with Pope Benedict XVI. I'd rather be in your shoes, Bishop, than mine. And as you begin to prepare for this visit, you have the opportunity to visit other offices, the congregations, as the term is known at the Vatican. And I suspect high on your agenda, maybe at the top, visiting the Congregation for Saints to try and get an update on what's happening with the beatification cause of Father Nelson Baker, Venerable Nelson Baker.
That's correct. We do. They call them dicasteries, the curia, and everything else. And we are actually, they put a list forward that they would like to see us visit 10 of them. Now, we're only going to be there a week, and I think that's going to be rather impossible because we will be going over a weekend. And usually in Rome, there's that afternoon session when offices are closed from 1 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it would have to be either in the morning or perhaps just early evening. Dinner time in Italy is 8 o'clock. There's restaurants don't open until 8 o'clock. But I hope to visit. I picked about 6 that I would be interested in. And, of course, I'm very, very interested to stop over there to meet the Cardinal Prefect and some of the staff there who were instrumental in doing all the work of the process of Father Baker. It'll be interesting to talk to them again because of the fact that we do have a miracle, a possible miracle, which has already passed quite a number of steps that's being accepted as quite authentic. They will eventually come to judgment. There'll be a group of theologians who will come to a final decision, and then hopefully that would be the time he becomes blessed, not just venerable. And I'd love to happen while I'm still here, at least as ordinary, but even if not, I will always feel a closeness and affection to this very holy man who was the priest of our diocese and did so much here. But usually we do have to go to certain kind of doctrine of the faith, worship, and that'll be interesting because of the fact that very shortly, we have the whole new Mass, it'll be interesting to talk a little bit about that from their perspective. We talk to clergy. We will also visit the Signatura, the High Court. I have friends in some of these places. Cardinal Laveda is the prefect of the Congregation of for the Doctrine of Faith. He's my classmate. We're very dear friends, and we've kept up our friendship over the years, and so someday I hope if it would be a possibility that my classmate could be a pope, which would really be delightful, but since he's a cardinal, but also to the Signatura. Again, there I have a very good priest friend from the Trenton Diocese originally, and he works there. And, of course, we've had a number when we had these appeals, that was the office to which these appeals came. So it would be interesting just to have a chat with them.
And I would think this visit has to have some added significance. Not only will you be meeting with Pope Benedict XVI, but this is the 50th anniversary of your ordination of the priesthood. When you're there, it'll be just 1 month shy, and you were ordained in Rome. And so what better timing than to meet with the Pope and to go back to where it all began for you?
I mentioned there, I was talking about the fact that we're in the retirement mode, but I would like to say that this is my 50th anniversary yet. And as I would mention, two of the many years that I had been bishop. But I'm sure that'll be a topic too, and just to be able to share that with the Holy Father and just whatever thoughts he has. He reacts beautifully to those moments. I watched him even at an audience, and some priests would, or even just a priest or anybody, bishop or whatever, would come up and say, well, this is my 25th anniversary, and he just makes a wonderful fuss about it. So I'm not necessarily expecting that, but I'd just be nice to say something about that to him.
You've met a number of popes, and you've been around popes for all of your priestly life, and I get it's very obvious that this is still a grace-filled moment for you every time you're in the presence of the Holy Father, and you really appreciate that benefit of being a bishop.
That's very true. I studied in Rome for 4 years, and that was most of the that was the time of Pope John 23rd, now Blessed John the 23rd. And as many times as we would have opportunity to see him, and we had a lot of opportunity. You might say sometime, well, you might think, well, after a while, you lose the glow of seeing the Holy Father at close range. Never, it was always something special. And to be in the presence of the Holy Father one-on-one, I think the adrenaline flows a little bit. Just the thought of that. Here is this man, who's head of this universal church, and for 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it's going to be, you and whatever you're bringing to him about the diocese is his total attention. That's awesome.
It's not all work while you're in Rome. When you get to the Eternal City, there are great restaurants and other things. What do you do with the limited free time that you'll have?
It would be nice at times. It depends. You really could take opportunity perhaps in the afternoons when most of the business establishments are closed and we won't be doing the usual work. I hope to visit maybe some of the mother houses and others that we have so many religious men and women here that it's impossible to see all of them, but maybe someone we might just drop in on and look up someone and have a chance to make a visit there. We've said Mass, and when I was a young priest in Rome, there were many places. It's kind of nice you have a chance to go back. One of the nice things about a liminal visit with the bishops of the province, it's a chance for us also. Puts us in a different place in a kind of different circumstances. And it's a nice bonding that takes place. And it's a social part. Hopefully we will have an opportunity to go out for dinner. They are wonderful restaurants. I have a lot of favorites of my own from my own experience, but there are a lot of new ones around too. I don't think you can ever lose in Rome. There's a wonderful street that runs very close to the Via della Conciliazione, the main road that leads up to St. Peter's, just several blocks over. And consequently, it'd be nice, to be able to hit one of those restaurants. There are so many happy memories of them. As a matter of fact, I was even thinking today's about the fact that we had a chance to receive some information and calls from my good friend Cardinal Aveda, and he can't come to my celebration, but he wanted to send me greetings. But he said that if he has time over to Rome, he might have me over to have dinner over at his place, which would be real nice too. That would be a little different than a usual restaurant, but it's still nice. It's a time for us to socialize and have a little fun.
when you're in Rome, obviously there is time for prayer. And do you have a prayer for this Idlemina visit?
None specifically, you know. Our prayer is centered around, you know, the Eucharistic celebrations that we'll have. And that's our primary prayer at times. And so consequently, it's wrapped up in that. There's nothing specific. Of course, I do pray, you know, that first for a safe journey and also, you know, for so that it will be the wonderful experience that we hope it to be able to apprise the Holy Father about what we are doing and tell him about. I want to tell him, especially the great faith of our people. That's one of the wonderful qualities that we have here, even though we've had to go through so much of the reconfiguration of the diocese with all those difficulties and all. But the faith of people is there. There are many who were disappointed and whatever by the fact that there were closures and mergers and all, but they are really and truly, though, I had and always have and still have a strong confidence that people have, their faith is important to them, and they will make sure that they will exercise and live their faith.
You're reflecting a lot, I'm sure, about 50 years as a priest, and you've been a bishop for almost three decades, and yet being a priest, being a pastor, still remains, it would appear, to be your priority. And dealing with people on so many different levels.
Very much. Actually, when you speak in terms of retirement, it's with mixed emotion. I've enjoyed being a bishop, being a priest very, very much. God has been extremely good to me. And it intrigues me even by virtue of the fact that in reality, I didn't, when the scripture says, Jesus in the scripture says, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And I just figure that what I had, my expectations and as what would be as a priest, it never quite materialized in a manner that I thought, we had the Vatican Council that changed the whole structure of our church and I kind of figured that I was just going to be a nice parish priest in Trenton. And I that didn't work out. I was there for a long time, but then I got a kind of another assignment or role from the bishop in Rome, the Pope, by making me an auxiliary bishop. And then, even again without expectations, you know, to be sent, I thought, well, auxiliary bishop, I'd be auxiliary bishop in Trenton. It's not unusual that you'd stay there and serve in that capacity. But then all of a sudden I got the word, Pope would like to have you go to Nashville. And then even again, surprising after 12 years there to get the word to come here to Buffalo. But it's been very gratifying and to be able to live the life of a pastor and as bishop, even more in a sense of a shepherd, the shepherd of a diocese. After the retirement, my hope is that it'll be a little simpler, less crisis-ridden, and an ability to just more or less be a priest, you know, go about doing the things, being the thing, a bishop. I hope to live here in the diocese at least about half the time, and if depending on my health, I may be able to help out with confirmations or certainly would love to say mass in parishes here and there. I was kidding the people that I might be your weekend help on some occasion. But then to maybe live a little simpler life than this one. But you always think, well, you're always busy. Everybody came to you and all of a sudden you're not the one anymore. And, I don't think I'll mind that long, but maybe later on somehow I might say, well, I'm still around.
I can assure you, Bishop, people will know that you're still around. Thanks for your time today, and we wish you safe travels, and we'll pray for you during your Idlemina visit this week in Rome. If you could leave our listeners with a special blessing as we approach Thanksgiving Day.
Yes, and thank you very, very much, and yes, to our dear folks. And my own feeling, certainly, as I ponder my own life situation, is a sense of gratitude to God. But I think... of all the holidays that we have in our country that are established, one of the greatest ones is Thanksgiving because of the purpose of it, and to be give thanksgiving to God for the many graces and blessings we receive, especially we who live in our country. And so consequently, I would just love just to say that, my dear folks, I would love to offer a blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Bishop, thank you very much.
And thank you, Kevin.
Bishop Edward Kimmick joining us today on Western New York Catholic Weekly. For Greg Prince, I'm Kevin Keenan. Thanks for listening and join us again next time.
You've been listening to Western New York Catholic Weekly, produced by the Office of Communications for the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo, with the help of the Catholic Communication Campaign and this radio station. Call us at 847-8744 or send us an email to radio@buffalodiocese.org.